Nicely with Martin Bester.
How's it? Normally on Tuesdays we do How Hard Can It Be. No, we are not going to try Olympic swimming.
Absolutely not.
our colleagues in the afternoon, I think, tried that. We are happy with it. However, it is my great pleasure to welcome in studio this morning, back from the Olympic Games, Pieter Kutse. How are you, Pieter?
Good, Anki. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Lim, thanks and welcome back. And then a guy who does not like the spotlight. In fact, what he does is he propels athletes into the spotlight, and it took a lot of convincing to get him on the show this morning. Oh. Rocco Mora in Docket Jesus.
Thank you, Martin.
I know you're not loving this at all. You're not a guy for... I mean, that's what makes you a great coach, I'm sure. As they should go up there and take the shine. But you deserve some as well, you know that.
Yeah, you do.
You really do. And so welcome. I'm going to start with you, Pieter. I want to know everything about these Olympic Games. I mean, we've been sitting here watching it on this very TV here. Mm-hmm. And it looked... what's the word I will use? It looked interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting.
And quirky. I mean, It was in Paris. It was up to the French.
Yes.
Was it a bit anders?
Yeah, definitely different. I think, it was a lot of fun. The spectators were great and the fans were great. It was a lot of energy in the arena.
Compared to Japan?
Yeah, because Japan, we didn't have any people in the arena. So it was...
So
this time you walk in and there's like over 15,000, I think 18,000 people or something in the crowd. And yeah, like we were speaking about it, when there was a French swimmer, the crowd would go crazy. So
they went, yeah.
Yeah, so it was cool. Yeah.
That part of it was cool. Tell me something. Now, we're sitting here watching on the screen, and then you guys come out of presumably the holding area at the back there, and then you come in the crowd and the announcer and stuff. How nervous are you? Like, because I'm nervous for you.
You definitely have some nerves. I think I've learned to embrace it in a way.
Do you calm yourself down?
No, I just feel what I just feel it.
Because now you're in an Olympic final.
Yeah.
Like, the majority of the world will never have that experience.
I mean,
it's never going to happen to most of us.
Yeah.
But now you're in Olympic, like, in the crowd, you say 15,000 or 18,000 people roaring and the cameras and the stuff. Do you wear headphones? Do you listen to music?
Yes, I listen to Orthodox monks chanting.
All right.
I was going to say
so
that.
So, like Gregorian chanting.
Yeah, Gregorian chanting.
I love this. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Rocco, did you know that?
I didn't know that. I am surprised.
Because he's bobbing his head. Like
I must be honest with you, I was picturing something else.
I know.
Peter coming out and listening. Maybe I thought, is it like hip hop? What is it happening? Gregorian monks chanting.
Right.
So, you don't really hear because you've got the music going in your ears. You don't really hear.
Yeah, well, I like to, in the ready room, I'll have them on, and then as soon as I know I'm about to be announced and I'm going to walk out, then I put them on my head, on top of my head, so I can hear the crowd and I can be more in the moment when I walk out.
Who's the most intimidating nation? It sometimes seems to me that the Americans, they've got a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I don't think, to us at least, I don't think there's an intimidating nation, but
yes.
America do like to, like, they have a cowbell, and so when the swimmer's about to go report, they'll hit the cowbell, and they'll go, USA, USA.
Oh my soul,
so
to
so
be
they have
louder.
A presence like that, yeah. Mm. So everyone knows.
Okay, I get it.
When an American swimmer's is going to go now.
Because just shouting and performing wasn't loud enough.
Yeah.
What could make it louder? A cowbell.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Do you think that's a kind of, they're trying to intimidate the other swimmers?
I think definitely. Okay. It's like a tactic.
And the Aussies, I've always thought that they've got a bit of an air about them around the pool.
No, I would say they're pretty, I think the Chinese, definitely, because they're silent. So that makes it more intimidating.
So they're completely quiet.
They don't really show emotion.
Yeah. At all.
Even when they win, they'll just be straight face
and just accept it and move on. That's quite different. The Olympic Games itself, I mean, was the organization lekker? Het jullie lekker geëet?
Yeah. The first few days, I think they were still getting into the swing of things. So there were some problems, like you couldn't find meat in the first few days.
Whoa.
So there were maybe one or two stations in the whole dining hall that served meat, so I just had beans.
Okay.
I would try and find protein in other sources like beans and rice and yeah, and then they sorted that out after a few days, and yeah, we got lost on the buses a few times on the way to the pool
in Paris.
Yeah. Oh, so we would it would take like 2 hours sometimes to get to the pool.
Did the bus get lost?
Yeah.
So the driver of the bus didn't know where he was going.
Yes.
Was he from Paris?
Yeah. They were friends. Yeah.
That's insane. Cool. But that must have infuriated you. I mean, Rocco, as a coach, you want everything to be just right, right? So from the food, the diet, everything, the ride to the stadium. Were these challenges for you as a coach?
Terrible. Made me unbelievably cross. Because, you know, we are control freaks. And if our time schedule or the food or the basics are not in place, then it stuffs up everything. And it cascades into the whole schedule of the day, of the week. So, but the Olympics is all about marking a plan.
Okay.
So we quickly figured out who can speak French on the bus.
Okay.
And then we'll get the guy to go to the front and talk to the bus driver. Or we try to, I try to determine, does this driver actually look where, I would ask them, do you know where you're going before we go in the bus? So if I didn't get a convincing answer, then we'll take the next bus.
Sure, okay.
But it was, you know, at least 2 out of 3 trips were not on schedule.
Oh no.
So it wasn't occasionally, it was often.
And timekeeping is a big thing for you.
Yeah, and you need to know, you know, what time the swimmers must be on the bus so they're in time for the events, because the traffic in Paris is insane.
Yeah, it's
and you know, if a 40-minute drive becomes a 2-hour drive, and remember in the beginning we weren't allowed to have aircon on the buses.
What?
So why? they taped the windows and the doors from outside as security measures.
Hmm.
No aircon as a security measure.
ExxonMobil.
In the summer.
It's summer in Paris.
ExxonMobil. No.
So your swimmers get exposed to this and you don't know whether you're going to be on time.
Guys.
It becomes nerve-wracking, to say the least.
But tell me this. Maybe that is a reason why we excel at sport against much bigger countries and first world countries around the world in many sport. Maybe it's just made us tougher.
Yeah, we pivot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
just you say mark a plan.
Yeah, you gotta hustle. You gotta find a way to make sure that you have some control and you have some way of making sure the athletes are not affected much by it. Yeah.
Can I ask Peter how much that distracts you though? Is it better to sit and think of over in your mind the race over and over again, or is it sometimes not better to just rock up, do the business?
Yeah, I like to just when we get there, everything you can do is done. You can't really change anything anymore, so you just trust.
Sometimes
you don't think
it helps
too much. Yeah, you just trust. Whatever happens is.
Yeah. Sure.
Has to happen.
We have so much to talk about. Rocco Meiring, back at the Olympics once again, back with medals once again. Young Peter in a final and breaking African records. I mean, that sometimes goes not as much said as it should be. We're going to celebrate that.
Mm-hmm.
We have questions about the French, and we have questions for them. If you want to just give them a message of support and congratulations, I mean, they have done us so incredibly proud once again. 084-850-0942 on WhatsApp.
You're with your online family. Breakfast with Martin Bester.
Our special guest in studio this morning, Peter Kutse, sowel as coach Rocco Meiring. I know how proud you are of Tatiana. You must have been, because the margins, Rocco, are just, that is the insane thing. We're talking here about split seconds.
It's unbelievable.
The split, the difference between a gold and a silver and, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, is like, what are we talking here? Point something.
Yeah, they are nothing more than, I would say, 0.6 or 0.8 separated.
Sure.
So the margins are exceptionally small, and you're swimming against the best of the best in the world. So a mistake is going to get exposed. And the time that you have to correct it is zero.
Yeah, but then it's up to the athlete. Then it's up to the swimmer. You as a coach can take them that far. But do you overthink it, though, afterwards?
Yeah, we do. We spend days and weeks thinking about it and going back in the racing and looking at footage and so on. And
what did you say to Tatiana, for instance, after the silver? I mean, what can you say?
Tatiana told me the day before the 200 started that she's going to announce her retirement.
Okay.
So, you know, in that light, it's a different message that you give to a swimmer that's given so much to the sport and to the country. And, you know, it's done. It was interesting that Tatiana said to me that she's very sorry that she announced her retirement because she wants to race the girl again.
Oh, wow.
That but was the first. You can
retire.
You can
retire.
She's allowed to.
First words to me. So that shows you what a warrior she is. But
can she, though? I mean, honestly.
Yeah, she can. She can do what she wants. You know, how many times have we seen somebody, you know, going back on a decision? I don't blame Tatiana for wanting to retire. She's been wanting to start a new chapter in her life a long time ago.
But she's still young.
She's 27. She's getting to the back end of her career. And, you know, that's the most difficult thing for an athlete is, when do I stop?
Mm.
When do I call it a day? Mm. Do I do it at the top? She surprisingly won the 100. She was not supposed to win the 100. It was an enormous surprise. And she was exceptional in the 200. People don't know that she's been carrying an injury since February.
Oh.
So we...
What injury is this?
She had an injury in her adductor, a tear 2 muscle tear in her adductor muscle.
That's your stomach, right?
So, no, that's in your inside of your of your upper leg. So that's critical for your kick.
A tear.
And, you know, anything worse than that, she wouldn't have been able to swim. So
what? Well, so, that's amazing.
Yeah. So for Tatiana, the fact that she could muscle through.
Yeah.
And also in the back of her mind, had a really tough 3 years after Tokyo.
Yeah.
That is sheer discipline and determination that got her to Paris, you know. So she must take time now to decide whether she wants to really stay away or not.
I'm no doctor, but if you had that injury in February this year, did you say, and you've gone on to get a gold and a silver at the Olympics, it's going to take a while to heal completely.
Yes.
She's got to come back.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, because now imagine now it's completely healed. Just saying. Just putting it out there. 27 as well.
Yeah. You know. I was about to say, what is the lifespan of swimmers, particularly in the breaststroke? I mean, 27, I thought she'd still have a few more years. I was, I chatted to Chad Leclos, and that's quite a comeback at a very advanced age.
Yeah, the research has shown that the girls are around 24 to 26 at their peak and at the Olympics. And the guys are around 25 to 27. So, but there are obviously exceptions. But, you know, it's not only about the age. It's also about the intent and you've got to be so focused and so single-minded in your preparation that you're putting everything on hold. You're putting your life on hold. You're putting your career, relationships on hold.
I just want to say, a lot of the swimmers around the world, they may be representing XYZ country, but they train in the US, right? A lot of swimmers train in the US, don't they?
Not anymore.
Not anymore?
No.
Oh.
So if you look at the US men, for example, they didn't have a good competition.
Mm-mm.
And many of the male events were won by non-US swimmers that train elsewhere. They don't necessarily train in the US.
So it's changed.
Hmm? Yeah, you know, we can't rely on one system to produce world champions.
Mm.
Yeah. And the US would like us to believe that that's the only way. But, you know, I, for one, I'm not going to do that.
what
makes them better than us?
Yeah.
You didn't eat so in Pretoria. Bring on load shedding, bring on anything. You're doing it from here in the southern tip of Africa. We take on massive huge. I can imagine the Chinese with the technology that they have behind us as well. It just brings home again the sheer greatness of Team South Africa and what Rocco and Peter and Tatiana and all the other young swimmers, which we'll mention in the moment. It's a new era. It's just a bit of a cowbell. just to accentuate that.
Yes, yeah.
That voice.
This is Breakfast with Martin Bester. Jacaranda FM.
They're back from the Olympics. Our special guest on the show this morning. He did South Africa so incredibly proud once again. Olympian backstroker Peter Kutse is back in the country. Last time he was here, we fed him pizza. I think he may have refined his diet since then. Although you were chowing a lot of beans because it was very vegan there in Paris.
Yeah.
Any vlees as maskaars geweest? Het julle gebraai hier terugkom?
Ja, ons het. En ek het die eerste aand wat ek uit die village uit kon kom met ons steak gaan eet by die restaurant.
So, is it? Yeah. Your ma sê vir my, jy is vir die pizza af. Now it gets serious, dude.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I had pizza.
Really?
Was
it maybe here?
Maybe it could have been, yeah.
Yes. Oh, you see?
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not that nice. It's fantastic. We're talking about the discipline earlier. Coach Rocco, I mean, you know, we spoke to you 4 years ago when Tatiana got that gold in Japan and this time round as well. Does it get easier or harder? I mean, do you sit on the sideline? Because at Pateker, if I'm too invested, I close my eyes. I want to look away and I'm like, oh my gosh, now it's Madrika's story. Yeah. I'm like, oh my word.
It was looking hard.
What are your nerves like? I mean, this is erg.
It doesn't get easier. It gets harder.
Are you nervous sitting there?
Very. Very nervous. It's excruciating.
Is it?
Shame.
he listens to Gregorian chanting. Maybe you could try that. Maybe
I'm definitely going to do it.
So, yes.
Will it work for Coach?
Yes, I think so. He plays it at the pool sometimes.
Oh.
On the speakers.
And what do you do to calm yourself before a race? Because if the swimmers look over your way, you also can't look too worried.
Yeah.
I think I've managed to develop a... exterior that looks calm and collected. But I remember the night before Peter's 200 final, we had three swimmers in the final. And, you know, it could go horribly wrong. It's a career-defining moment. Any coach would know what I'm talking about. And it can go horribly wrong. So you stand there, there's nothing else you can do, and you hope that the swimmers tell you we feel fantastic, but sometimes they don't, and then you have to deal with it. You have to try and get them to compose them and to be ready. Peter is, I'm lucky with Peter, he's very calm, and he's got a very good BMT, big match temperament. So, you know, it's fine with him. Others can freak out, then you've got to know what you do,
and then you've got to calm them down.
Yeah,
you must meet some strange athletes from around the world. When I say strange, I mean just people with different habits, I guess, and different ways of dealing with it.
No, definitely.
Did you see some characters backstage?
I actually knew most of the people I was swimming against just from previous, from like world champs and those things. So yeah, some people in the ready room, they'll listen to their music and they'll pace up and down, like halving themselves up, rapping along to the song or like mouthing the song.
What makes him a great coach?
I would say that's a hard question.
With him sitting here.
He coaches each swimmer differently, individual to that person. So what I need is different from what Tatiana would need. So I think that's probably the main thing.
Can I ask, so when you were staying in the Olympic Village, did the swimmers all stay together and all the different kind of codes, did they stay together, or was it like a mixed bag?
So we were all in one apartment together, us swimmers, the men,
yes,
and the coaches, and also our manager, Mafata. Rocco actually very selflessly moved his bed out of his room into the living room.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And him and the other coach, Dean, but, slept in the living room so that we can have our own rooms, the swimmers.
Is it that
cardboard bed?
Did I see right? Were they cardboard
beds?
It
wasn't too heavy.
Are you serious, though? I thought it was a joke.
Yes.
But they're cardboard beds.
Cardboard beds, and there was nothing wrong with them. I think people make too much of a hype of it. Mm.
But the whole story about you can't,
it's the funky chicken.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't know. I mean,
well played, coach.
Experience.
How awkward is Felicity say funky chicken in terms of how you first
ordered? Yeah.
Very awkward. Okay, so if you could coach any other sport, what would it be, Rocco Maiden? If it's not swimming, what do you think you could give a go?
I would love to coach rugby.
Is it?
I love rugby.
Okay.
And I think that, and I've lately developed an interest in athletics.
Oh.
What kind of athletics, though? Like sprints or?
No, well, more the middle distances.
Okay. Right.
I think the athletic coaches would now all... I think they'll laugh themselves too. But anyway, that's I love sport, and I as a coach you try and get information and knowledge from other sporting codes. Mm.
Is there something you say to the swimmers just before they go out? Do you have a standard line that you give them? Like a famous line?
I don't, unfortunately.
You tell each person a different thing probably.
I think so.
Yeah,
it depends on the race. At the Olympics, less is more. Everything that had to be said has been said.
Mm.
All the planning has taken place, and you react as a coach. You react more to the athlete than trying to control. And these guys know what they're doing. They are pros. So it's better not to say too much. That needed to happen when we were preparing.
When you were coaching. So, go out there and say, like, Peter, Tatiana, don't stuff it up.
I was going to say, don't pull if you lose.
Yeah.
You walking back to the... Yeah.
He's actually said those exact words.
Has he?
Yes, he says those exact words.
What? Exactly.
Just stuff is a different...
He is a coach.
The reason why I'm interested in this kind of thing, Peter, is because I have figured out two ways of getting to the Olympic Games. One is breakdancing, but now have they cancelled that?
It's not they've cancelled it for LA.
The other way was I'm going to become an Olympic swimming lifeguard.
Nice. Oh, yes.
Because that person, sitting right there, great seat at the pool. And you are there.
Yeah.
The actual Olympic swimmers.
Right next to the pool.
I want to point out to you that you'll be required to wear that very floral speedo as the
very
man.
Very colourful. Was it like pink and yellow?
Yes, blue and yellow. Are you willing?
No. The world does not deserve that. but talking about, there was a bit of a talking point around the little speedos.
Yes.
There was that one swimmer. Where was he from? We did experience, how should we put it?
The Italian swimmer.
There was a lot happening at this Olympics. People, I don't know if you know this. You guys were in it in the heat. You were in the bus and you were there on deck and stuff.
Should we call it anatomical distractions?
There were some distractions.
Yeah.
Let's go with that. We had a bit of a chat here in South Africa about many things.
Mm, mm, mm.
There was a pole vaulting.
Oh, yes.
Do you guys know about that?
Yes.
Did you have a chat about it backstage?
I don't know. I didn't know about it while I was there.
Only when I got back, I saw.
And then you showed Rocket just now. There was also the outfit.
Yes. So this is the lifeguard's outfit that they wear at the war at these Olympic Games. Because this man proceeded to jump in the lifeguard at the swimming. Yes, I said that correct. Lifeguard at the swimming at the Olympics. He dove in to fetch the cap, and he made headlines because he looks, he's got.
He's in a bungee smuggler.
Yes, a very colourful one, a very very colourful one. And then there was an Italian swimmer as well who made headlines with all the women across the world.
It took you 48 minutes to get to that question. What?
As if she's shy.
48 minutes. 3 hours later.
Bottom line is, do you guys go on social media during the course of it? Because there's a lots of other chatter about a million other things going around. Is it distracting? Do you ban them from going on social media during the Olympic Games?
I don't ban them because they don't go. I know they don't go on social media.
Really, Peter?
Yeah, we deleted before.
Sorry.
2 days before.
What? You delete what?
I delete Instagram.
You delete it?
Yeah.
All of you?
So you don't see
one of them, my sister actually runs my Instagram for me.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So you don't check any social media while you're at the Olympic Games?
Mm-mm.
Okay, but is that a rule or is that something that you choose to do?
No, just we choose to do it. Because
all of you?
Yeah, most of us, as far as
wow.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? Mm.
Well, Rocco is asking me now just one or two things about what happened with the Springboks, for instance. So you guys are really in a proper bubble when you go into the village.
We are like in prison. We don't know what's going on in the outside world.
Yeah.
So funny enough, while you were there, there was a prisoner that actually tweeted and Instagrammed out of prison.
Yes. Well, okay, so it's not in prison.
It's not quite like prison.
Prison's got more access.
So your bubble is, I mean, that is, wow. This is Tusa's Ibis.
Yeah, I think people think it's very glamorous and so on. It's the opposite. You are isolated. You go through numerous security checks. As I said, you sit in a bus that's taped from the outside. Mm. And it depends on how much effort the organizing committee puts into keeping you informed in the village.
Okay.
So in this time around, we had no monitors, no Ooh. TV, no nothing. So we didn't know what was going on the outside. Whoa. So you wake up, eat, train, come back, eat, rest, train, come back, eat, sleep. And that's repeated for 2 weeks.
Well, then you're not going to do very well in our quiz. Because then we're going to win. Because I have an Olympic quiz coming up.
We most probably will suck.
So how hard can it be for you? Well, very hard, because you know nothing. We're going to... Felicity, myself and Claula, we're in one team. Well, you need to represent. I'm going to ask the questions against Rocco and Peter. And it's an Olympic quiz. And there'll be medals.
And podiums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that is coming up for you. Before we move on, just a quick call from, is it Trace? How are you, Trace?
Hi, morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, and you?
Good.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Johannesburg.
In Parkview, Trace.
Did
you follow the Olympic Games? How proud of you are you of our swimmers and other athletes, obviously?
Exceptionally proud of our swimmers, South Africa. Just applaud them. And I just think they're a beacon of light for our country.
And what did you want to say to Rocco and Peter in studio?
Well, first of all, Peter, I just wanted to congratulate you on your dedication as a swimmer, and I just trust you'll be blessed going forward for the next Olympics and your swimming journey ahead.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate
that. It's a pleasure.
And to Rocco.
And then to Rocco, I just want to tell you that in our family, you are spoken of so often by my daughter, Jessica, and her husband, JP. You have been the most outstanding mentor to both of them, and I want to personally thank you for that. You well, just are an inspiration. You are the most humble person that they just look up to you. You've inspired swimmers, coaches. You are the reason they opened their own swim school in George Western Cape called Waterbenders. Wow. It is a result of you. So I want to just thank you for all the encouragement you have given my son-in-law, JP, and my daughter, Jessica. You just are an inspiration. And I think what makes you such a hero is that you're just so humble. You're so unassuming. So thank you very much for your contribution to South African swimming.
Thank you for those nice words. I know them well. JP was our team captain and Jessica was in our team, and I think they've got a great future of coaching ahead of them.
Thank you, Trace.
Thank you so much, Trace. Have a lovely day.
Thank you for sharing. That is the most beautiful message. I have more messages for you coming up.
Breakfast with Martin Bester. 6 to 9 weekdays. Jacaranda FM.
We are hanging with the Olympic team. They are back. Rocco Meiring, the coach of our Olympic swimming, had so many swimmers. I mean, we've only spoken about a couple on the show this morning, but you should be a very proud coach representing South Africa so well at the Olympic Games. Pieter Kutse, welkom terug in die atelier. Pieter ook, ons is so trots op jou. Breaking records, representing us on that world stage. Man, it's a big thing. In Paris, I mean, it's a great city. Did you do some sightseeing? Are you allowed to go and see? Can you go and just walk in and check some of the other sport?
I think you are allowed to, but we don't do that because you want to be resting and you don't actually have time in your day.
Right.
Yeah, because you're on the bus for maybe an hour to the pool and then you swim and then you're on your way back and then you have to eat and...
I saw on Instagram there's a lovely young lady that accompanied you there for a little shopping trip in Paris.
Yes, Jamie. She was in Greece and it's pretty close, so she came over to watch a few days.
How long has it been?
It's been like 7 months, 8 months.
Look at you guys, hey? Spending time in Paris, arguably most romantic city in the world.
That is correct, that's yes. Right.
Doing some shopping there. I love expensive, though.
Yeah.
It really is. But for you guys, I mean, do they at least give you like a pocket money? I mean,
400 euro.
For what? Per day?
For the duration.
For the entire trip.
400 euro.
Yeah. Weren't you there for 2 weeks, though?
Well, you don't. We're very grateful for it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's we were like, "Wow, that's fantastic!" It's
look at us.
We don't have much to spend it on because, as Peter said, your day's full and your weeks are full, so you don't leave prison that easy.
Yeah,
okay. Guys are terrible.
Were you guys in La Défense? Where was the village?
Yeah, La Défense Arena.
So you're quite far away from the actual central Paris as well.
Yeah.
Take that metro and it's...
I'm just checking though. You were there for 2 weeks, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
But did you make the calculations?
I converted already. I was like,
all people. But they were fed beans and stuff.
That's right. You had your beans.
The thing is, everything is free in the village as well. You can get... There are like food trucks as well and coffee stands everywhere.
For free.
And there's like a bakery.
Oh.
So it's, everything's free. You don't need pocket money in the village.
Oh, I suppose.
Yeah, at all.
I suppose. Felicity, how bad do you feel now?
Yeah. Not bad at all.
All right, so some messages coming in of support and lots of love for you guys. Peter, now we've had you on the show before. We are a big fan of you, a great supporter of you. But do you know how long it took me to try and convince Rocco to come on the show? Do you believe me?
I do believe you, yes.
Yeah, he does.
I can imagine.
Seriously, he said no.
Yeah.
And then I said, Rocco.
I think you actually told me last time you've been trying to get him. That was 3 years ago.
And I was like, Rocco, think about it this way. South Africa gets an opportunity to thank and pay tribute and celebrate other coaches.
Yeah.
Who are in the media a lot. I know you don't like the media necessarily that much because it's about the swimmers, right? But here you are, and people have left messages for you this morning, Rocco. This one here particularly is from Stephen. Mr. Stephen Ball.
Good morning, Martin, Ola, and the rest of the team at Jacaranda. Thanks so much for having Rocco and Peter live in studio this morning. I just want to say that as the University of Pretoria and Tuck Sport, we are extremely proud of you guys, Rocco, Pete. You know, what you achieved, Peter, in your second Olympics is something truly special. Having two finals and one being a fifth place by such small margins. Rocco, to you and everything that you do to protect our brand and promote our brand of the Stripe Generation, we're extremely proud of you, we're extremely grateful for you, and we look forward to what may come in the future. Thanks for everything. Cheers. Bye.
Stephen Ball there representing Tux.
Tux Sport, Tux of Nux.
Yeah, very, very proud of both of you. And then also just from our listeners, just they've been watching you on TV. They've been following the progress in the medals.
Rocco, we just want to congratulate you and your team and all your swimmers And we want to thank you for the example you are for all the younger swimmers and the upcoming swimmers. My own son is 12 years old, looking up to Peter and everybody, already NTS level 3, and that's the dream. So thanks for the role models. We really appreciate it.
2, 4, 6, 8. Who do we appreciate? Rocco the coach and all the Olympians have made us so proud. Well done.
She did not make the cheerleading squad for Olympics in Paris, but I think that the point comes through. That's a beautiful message. And then also, and I had the privilege of also knowing and meeting, and they've moved away now, but you also might recognize this voice. She spent many, many years on deck with you. Linda, Coach Linda. Oh. Also took me quite something to get a message out of her. Let's start with yours.
Peter, baie, baie geluk met wat jy bereik het in Parys. Ek weet nie of jy kan onthou, toe jy by Olympiese trials in 2021 in Port Elizabeth nie, as 'n 17-jarige het jy 'n time trial gaan doen. Ek het nog vir jou gesê, good luck Peter, ek weet jy kan dit doen, just do it. En ek was nie eers jou coach nie. En kyk waar is jy nou. Ek weet jy gaan baie Suid-Afrikaners nog baie trots maak, en good luck vir 2028 in LA.
Coach Linda, ook iets vir jou, Rocco.
Hi Rocco, Linda hier. Ek stuur graag vir jou die voice note, maar ek weet nie eindelijk waar om te begin nie, want daar is soveel trots en emoties wat hiermee gepaard gaan. Trots omdat ek vir 13 jaar een voorreg gehad het om deel te wees van een wonderlijke swemfamilie en een wenspan by Tux. Emoties omdat ek elke swemmer wat jy by die Olympiese Spele gehad het, persoonlik kon ken, en ek geweet het wat jy ingesit het om hulle daar te kry. Emoties, ja, ek het saam met jou traan gepik, met jou onderhoud na die Olympiese Spele, en ek kon nie glo dat daai man wat so langs die swembad te kere kan gaan nie, so 'n klein haartjie het nie. Maar eintlik het ek dit altyd geweet. Rocco, ek wens jou alles van die beste toe vir die volgende 4 jaar. Ek weet jy gaan groot hoogtes bereik, en weet net, al die swemmers en al die africhters in Suid-Afrika is ongelooflik trots op jou.
For those who don't know, who's Linda? She was there, was she 13 years on deck? Eh?
Linda started my career in swimming.
Oh!
She was the reason why I got into swimming, into coaching, and yeah, I'll always be grateful for her. She got me my first job.
Wow.
That's so special. Wow. What do you make of all this love? Oh. Aren't you glad you came here this morning?
I'm doing it for you, Martin, because I often listen to your program, and I'm often amazed by what you guys accomplish for with the Angels. And you know, as a coach, I don't save lives. I don't teach people to read. I don't convert people's religion. So in my eyes, you know, my job is not that important.
Sure.
But when I look at what you do and your team do, your team does here with the Angels program, it's an inspiration. And it means that you can extend yourself a little bit further than what your immediate job is. And it's a responsibility for me as a coach at a university to do something for the upcoming coaches and the young coaches, and it's also a responsibility to do as much as I can with swimmers such as Peter and Aaron and so on to make our nation proud. We can't just roll over and play dead. We can't give up. We gotta go down swinging.
That is very special of you. Thank you very much for saying that. Coach Rocco is a good coach, this guy.
Yes, he is
a good coach. Yes. Is it going to score points with our quiz? I don't know. Coming up, the Olympic quiz. It's the radio team.
Yes.
Versus the Olympic swimming team.
Breakfast with Martin Bester. Driving you to work every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m.